Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pocket Toy, the Destructoid community's one and only handheld gaming podcast. I am your sick and completely out of it co-host, Jordan / Jackal27. And with me always is my beautiful, also co-host of this podcast.
Good. Good sentence. If I could high-five that sentence, I would.
What's your, why is Tea Party Cat now following me? What is your name?
Did you just say Tea Party Cat is following you?
Yeah.
Good.
What's your name?
My name is Addison, / Crackety Jones, I guess.
Good to meet you, Addison.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good to have you on the show today.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good things.
Yeah. It's, well, you heard wrong, sir. The show's terrible. And we don't record episodes for months at a time. Or sometimes we record them 3 times in a row.
Yeah, that's, but anyway. That is definitely true.
Anyway, so in this episode, we got a lot to talk about, I guess. Even though there's not really like anything big, I still have lots of things to talk about.
Lots of reviews.
Yeah, lots of stuff. We'll get through it all.
It'll be great, because maybe we'll have an episode that isn't insanely long for once.
Mm-hmm. I'm, like, really scared for my dog, because she's been sick all day. Oh, you okay? Sure. Don't die. Okay. You're not dying. Okay, good. All right, Addison, what have you been playing?
Dota. Dota 2.
Why?
Because I love it.
Mm.
A lot more fun than it has any right to be. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because I'm sure they worked super hard to make that game as insanely addicting and fun as it is.
Yes, probably.
I'm crazy addicted to that. I've also been playing what is it called? The Monster Hunter Freedom Unite.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it's called Freedom Unite 2. It's called Monster Hunter Freedom Unite because it actually brings Monster Hunter Freedom 1 and 2 into one game.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've been playing...
If you're a PlayStation Plus member, that's free for you right now, so
yeah,
go get it.
So good, too. And Mercenary Kings comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't have a PS4, so that doesn't really affect me.
Yeah. Good thing my roommate does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, those games, and the new Infamous, which is a lot of fun, and it's really enjoyable to...
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Good. I'm trying to get my brother to play it, and he's like, no. And then he's like, I don't have anything to play for my PS4. And I'm like, go get Infamous. He's like, so.
But I've been doing, like, the remote play, and mm-hmm. playing it on my Vita.
Oh.
It's pretty neat. Except... that they put, like, the L2 and R2 buttons on the touchpad, and
yeah.
with a game like Infamous, that can be kind of annoying, because I'll be playing and accidentally fire off, like, one of my only two missiles. And I'll be like, oh, cool. Great.
You can switch them to the front touchscreen if you want to.
Yeah, I should probably do that.
Yeah. I do that with PlayStation.
It would still happen, it would just happen less.
I do it with PS1 games, because... sometimes I'm like, I start accidentally almost about to run from a battle in Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah. Maybe... Oops. My cat just attacked me and kind of scared me. Also, I've been playing cat. I don't think I had a cat last time we recorded.
No, you didn't have a cat.
I got
a cat. Cat is new.
I used some of my tax return to buy a cat and cat supplies.
How is your cat? Is it a pretty good cat?
Yeah, she's biting my foot right now.
That's cool.
Her name is Ripley.
Why didn't you get a kitten?
She's not very old. She's, like, between 1 to 2.
Oh, okay. Well.
She's biting my foot a lot right now. Ow. Her name is Ripley, and if you really want to annoy me, then you can be like, oh, Ripley's Believe It or Not. I will be like, yeah, no, that's actually not... what I named her after at all, because I'm not an idiot. She's named after Sigourney Weaver's character in Alien. Because I decided that I wanted to name my next cat Jones after the cat in Alien.
Uh-huh.
But since she isn't an orange cat, and she's also a girl, and I'm pretty sure Jones was a boy, I'm like, well, I'll just name her Ripley.
Mm.
What else have I been playing? I feel like I was playing something on my PS3, but maybe not.
I don't know.
That's you about it,
you,
really.
You played any more Bravely Default?
Here and there. Not a ton.
Mm.
I need to play more.
Where are you at in there?
I don't want to tell you.
Tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
You're in the sand place, aren't you?
Probably. I don't remember where I told you the last time I was.
I found out something really disappointing, but, you know, whatever. Game's still awesome. I found out that it pulls some kind of really stupid bullcrap around one of the final chapters.
Oh.
For some people, it, like, ruined the whole experience of the whole game. I don't think that's... I mean, like, okay, like, the game...
Ow! Ripley, the game, stop!
Just put your cat away.
I can't.
Well, I'm going to put it down if you can't.
No, you don't say that.
Like, I don't know. Like, the game's so good that I don't really care. The game could... You know, it's like, if it pulls off the worst crap in the world, it will only be a really good game, not the best RPG ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Cool.
I remember the other thing I played that I was trying to remember was, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zero.
Yeah, I remember. How was that?
It was short.
How short was it?
It took me probably just slightly over an hour to finish the game.
Whoa. Yeah. That's crazy.
It all, like, I mean, you unlock all these side missions, but I was, like, reading the details on all of them, and every single one just sounded like the most filler, boring mission.
Ugh. I don't
know. People say that, like...
Did you rent it?
Yeah, I rented it.
Oh, okay, good.
And, like, I started an account at Family Video, so I got, like, half price on my rental. And
there you go.
So, I mean, I paid, like, $4 to play it, or something like that. $3 or $4 to play it.
I think I would have just gone the Redbox route and paid, like, $2 or whatever.
Well, I thought I would, like... I wasn't sure if I would finish it in one sitting or not, and I had to work the next day, and so I just wanted to make sure that I would have it long enough to finish it. Plus, I knew my roommate wanted to play through it, too.
Mm.
But, yeah, I returned it after, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
I did also play that
that's just,
on...
That's just some bullcrap. That's some bull crap. I just can't believe that they
it should have been like a $10 at most download game. All right, who cares? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a few things. I've been playing a lot more Bravely Default. That's kind of been my main thing I've been playing. Lots of Bravely Default. I think I have 60 hours now, something like that. So, game's still awesome. I love it to death. Right now there's this thing I have to do where I have to beat these, like, four or five different dragons. And they are insanely hard, like, making me so frustrated. But I found out that you just have to basically use a certain class that has an ability that makes them all pretty easy. So, I guess I'll have to do that. I made my own broken class, and I love it. Can I tell it to you? Will it be a spoiler if I tell you?
I feel like you already told me, but go ahead.
So, maybe I did. So, like, you get this, like, kind of samurai class guy, and he really specializes on, like, reactive, attacks, so, like, countering stuff, and then, you can also get this pirate class, and the pirate really is the highest offensive class in the whole game. He can do the most physical damage out of anybody, I'm pretty sure. And so, one of my chicks, I made her the samurai class, but before she'd been a pirate, so she had all these pirate abilities unlocked. And one of the pirate abilities It uses half your MP, but it hits the enemy times 4 of your attacks. Okay, so but the swordmaster, the samurai guy, has this ability that negates the cost of all moves that use MP. So for like three or four turns or something like that. So what I can do with this chick is I can like brave her out, and then I can have her use this samurai ability to like get rid of MP cost, and then I can use that pirate ability that does times 4 damage like 2 times in a row. And so I'm just regular attacking enemies for 9999 with her. Like max damage every enemy that she hits all the time. It's the best.
That's a lot of damage.
Yeah, so she just wipes out. Yeah, she wipes out everything. It's so fun though. I mean it has its limitations, and she really has to be like braved out like constantly. But yeah, it's just really fun to use. And it's really cool to discover little things like that in the game, because I have other characters where I've discovered similar stuff. Like my healer, she has an item that casts Cura, and so it doesn't use any MP. And then I've been able to boost her healing to the point where she can use that move from that item, and she will heal the entire party for all of their MP, or all their HP. So I just have like unlimited healing in battle all the time. So for the whole party, but I'm still like, it's still a tough game even with all that stuff. So you really gotta strategize. But anyway, good game, love it still. Still, you guys still need to buy it if you haven't. Did you hear about how much it sold?
Quite a bit, like a lot it more sold, than I would have expected it to.
It sold 200,000 copies in the first 3 weeks, which is really good for a 3DS game. Like really, really good. It sold better than Lightning Returns.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And it deserves to.
And then I read this article today where one of the head dudes at Square Enix said that because of Bravely Default, they're reconsidering everything about how they design games.
Yeah, I saw that article as well.
Yeah. I was like, yay, it makes me happy. So, anyway, Bravely Default, still great. Been playing Inazuma 11 still. And I keep playing it like, okay, I need to review it for the next episode. But then it keeps introducing like new gameplay elements and stuff. And I'm like, wait, what if they keep introducing stuff and I can't review it? But I'm just going to go ahead and review it for this episode anyway. But that game's fun. I'll talk about it some more later. I bought Luftrausers for the Vita. It's like, I mean, I'm going to do a full review later, but I've been throwing a ton of time into that game, way more time than I thought I would. I bought Final Fantasy X and X2 HD Remaster for the Vita, and Final Fantasy X is kind of the thing I've been playing the second most, next to Bravely Default. I think in just the last week, I've thrown on about 20 hours almost, like 17 hours, something like that.
So I've been playing that quite a bit. I saw that they left in the... that kid saying, when I grow up, I want to be a blitzball.
I think they moved it. Wasn't that kid at the very beginning of the game originally?
Yeah,
I thought he was.
Pretty sure.
I could be wrong. I thought that he was like at the very beginning, but this time he's like in a different spot. But it was, yeah. Whenever I got to there, I was like, yay. But one of the things that's been surprising to me is, and of course I'm going to do a little review later, but really, you know, you guys know what Final Fantasy X is. It's been around for like 12 years. But one of the things that was really surprising to me was when I was a kid, I hated Final Fantasy X. I played it for like 4 hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours when I first got my PS2 in like 2002 or 2003. And I really didn't like it. I just didn't enjoy it. I remember, like, because I was such a huge fan of Final Fantasy IX, I felt like they changed way too much, like way too fast. It was so different from IX. And had all these different... I had just been introduced to RPGs, too, so I felt like it was, like, ruining all these things that I had just been introduced to. But in reality, like, a lot of people had been playing lots of RPGs that were, like, Final Fantasy IX, and it kind of introduced some cool new systems and stuff, but it has some issues, too, that are kind of dumb. Animation's not very good. It's, like, super linear. Like, super, super linear. Like, there's no world map or anything, which I didn't realize. You just kind of run down a straight path the whole game, pretty much. But it has little distractions and stuff along the way. And the gameplay is really solid. Like, I love how the battles work and stuff. But, yeah, I'll talk about it some more later. It's pretty fun. And then I've never played Final Fantasy X2 at all, so I'm excited to check that out as well. And then I've been playing some Monster Hunter, like you, but not that much. And I've been playing the... I played both of the Conception 2 demos, the one for the 3DS and for the Vita. So...
And how are those?
Don't play the 3DS one, unless that's your only option. I'll say that. Like, the Vita one's definitely the superior game. And I think the 3DS one is just, like, a demo, like, basically more like a demo, just built for the 3DS. But the Vita one is actually, I think, the first chapter of the full game. And so I think it actually carries over if you buy the full game, too. But, man, I don't know how I feel about that game. It makes me really uncomfortable, if I'm honest. It makes me more uncomfortable than Senran Kagura Burst did. Which is surprising.
Wow.
Like,
I'm gonna have to download that after the show.
Senran Kagura Burst, like, you know, yeah, okay, LOL, boobies everywhere. But at least, like the characters in that game, like, the ladies, I don't know, like, they have these, like, individual, like, heartwarming stories and stuff. And in this game, it's just, like, a harem anime. It's, like, it's all the ladies want your penis simulator is what it feels like. And I'm just like, oh, this is so awkward. And then, like, the stuff about, like, you know, the class mating, like, making star babies with all these ladies, you know, like, and all that stuff just makes me so uncomfortable for a lot of different reasons. But, I mean... And then, like, but, you know, if the gameplay justifies it, then it's like, well, you know, if it's a fun game to play, you know, you can look past some of that stuff. But even then, it feels a little bland. So, I don't know. You might, you know, check it out for yourself. You might dig it, Addison. I don't know. It just feels like a dungeon crawling type thing with some turn-based battles and some dating sim elements. But nothing that really blows my mind. So, anyway. But, yeah, that's stuff I've been playing. Other than that, it's just been... review things.
Well,
been playing Being Lonely by myself because my wife is in Mexico and I'm at home with my dog.
She's in Mexico?
Well, she's in Houston, but she's leaving for Mexico like tomorrow or something like that. So, got a wedding down there. Okay. Anyway, you want to move on to reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do reviews.
Let's do it. Let's do you reviewing a bunch of things.
Oh, yeah, I'll knock out a bunch of iPhone games first before we get into some of our other stuff. So, like, mobile gaming has had, especially iPhone gaming, has had a really good, like, couple of weeks, which is really surprising because a lot of times iPhone games are BS and I just couldn't care less. But recently, there's been a lot of really good stuff, and I've downloaded a lot of things and really been enjoying them, in fact, so that's different. But so, yeah, if you own an iPhone and stuff, really pay attention to these because I don't take... iPhone gaming lightly. These are good games. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about them. So, I'm going to throw out a couple, just a bunch real quick that I think are fun, but I'm not going to go into a giant review of each of them. So, the whole Flappy Bird phenomena has actually been really good for the iPhone gaming space, aside from all the stupid Flappy clones, because it's kind of opened up the door for a lot of developers to make small, arcade-style, free games. Or really low-cost games that you can just pick up and play and, you know, and are really easy to kind of just challenge and stuff. So there's been a few really good ones of those. There's a game called Pot of Legend, I think it's called. And it's basically a goofy little RPG that I thought was really stupid because it's basically just about breaking pots like in Zelda, you know? And I thought this game's so stupid. Like, why?
So
like, I started
it's
playing
not
it
like a cannabis RPG.
No. I started playing this and I was like, oh, this game, like, this is not that great. You know, I was like, oh, this is not that great. And I was like, why am I playing this? I'm going to delete it really quick. But then I kept playing, and then I kept playing, and I ended up playing for 2.5 hours, and I beat the game twice.
Oh my gosh.
And it's fun, for some reason. It's basically this game where you have a little dude, and you tap the screen to make him break pots, and then you can upgrade to other little, and buy more little dudes to break more pots, and you can upgrade to more and better pots, and they start dropping all these coins, and you have to drag your finger across the screen to pick up all the coins, and your goal is to just, like, get, I don't remember, like, one crazy trillion coins, like some, I don't remember, lots of zeros behind that one. And you're supposed to get like a bajillion coins, and then you like unlock this treasure at the end. And it takes about like 30 minutes to beat, I think 30 or 40 minutes, something like that. Whenever you beat it, this giant glowing pot comes. This is spoilers, but who cares? And you get like a little like prize. The one that I got was a golden statue of Neon Cat. And there's other ones.
You get different prizes each time.
Yeah, you get different statues, and they stack up on a bookshelf that's in the background of the game. And I don't know what happens when you unlock all of them, but the game's free, so I get it. It's like a fun little distraction while you're waiting at the doctor's office, whatever. So, dang it, I meant to not talk about that for so long. Okay, we gotta keep going. Cat versus Aliens. You play as a cat. It's free. You play as a cat. You use a slingshot to shoot mind bullets at the aliens that come down from the top of the screen. You literally shoot mind bullets. He's a psychic cat. And then it has a cute, like, really neat, cartoony, bright, colorful art style. And it's fun, and it's free. Get it. Fireman Rush has really authentic, gorgeous SNES 16-bit graphics. Like, it looks like a Super Nintendo game, and it looks really pretty. It also has authentic, amazing Super Nintendo-style music, which is perfect as well. The gameplay is okay. It kind of feels like a Game & Watch game. Dudes jump down from the building, and you touch the bottom of the screen to move your little firefighters to try and catch them before they hit the ground and go splat. But there's also rocks that fall down that can break your stretcher, so don't get hit by the rocks. It's a little unfair, because sometimes the rocks fall at the same time as the people coming down from the building, but it's okay, and it's free. You should play it. Bad Student Driver. This is definitely my favorite of the Flappy Bird type.
Yeah.
Bad Student Driver is it's kind of like with the Flappy Bird games. It's super crazy hard. But what happens is you start and you're this your little car, and the car is like swerving to like the left or the right, and you have to tap the screen to make it go the other direction so that you don't hit a wall. But then you'll hit blocks of road that'll make it start heading the opposite direction. So you kind of have to be on your toes. And also there's cones, and if you hit cones 3 times, then it's game over as well. My high score is 14.
Wow.
It's really hard. It's so hard. I think the world high score is like 60 or something like that. But maybe that's Fireman Rush. I don't remember. It's really tough. But it's those are all three free and fun. Oh, those are Earth. Those four. Those are all four free and fun, and you should check them out. What else do we have? This game cracks me up. Bridge Constructor. Have you heard about this?
Maybe it sounds kind of familiar.
Bridge Constructor got to the very top of the App Store because of a GIF on Reddit of the game. There's this GIF of the game. Basically, what Bridge Constructor is you have a different vehicles, and you have to get them to the other side of the bridge. And you build the bridge by dragging and dropping just little lines to kind of construct a bridge that can support itself. But what's hilarious is the bridge doesn't have to stay constructed in order to get the car to the other side. So there's this GIF on Reddit of this like oil truck trying to get to the other side. And the bridge is just collapsing behind it, and the oil truck's like barely hanging on. And when it finally gets to the other side, it flips over, explodes, and then like everything falls apart. And the game's like, "Great job!" And it's really funny. It's like $1. A lot of people really like this game. I had a lot of fun with it for the little bit that I played it. I'd say Bridge Constructor.
It's on Android, probably.
I actually forgot to check that for this game, but. I don't know. I would suggest checking it out if you like it or if it sounds like a cool thing. Other games. Oh my gosh, so many iPhone games to talk about. Devious Dungeon has been at the top of the iPhone store for a while now. It's a side-scrolling roguelike, action roguelike. Kind of plays like Rogue Legacy a little bit in that vein. But it's kind of bland. It uses touchscreen like on-screen buttons that don't work that well all the time. And it kind of pushes you to get in-app purchases because it has a slow buildup of coins and stuff, even though it's $1. It's okay. Devious Dungeon's all right. I probably won't be playing a lot of it after this review, but it's okay. And you might like it if you like roguelike stuff. What else do we have that's not a review copy? Kickball Champion of the World. Yes. kickball champion of the world. So I just saw this game randomly, and it had a really nice cartoony art style. And kickball champion of the world is you play as this cute little girl, not little girl, but just this cute girl at the bottom of the screen. She's hand-drawn, really well animated. And there are blocks falling from the top of the screen, and there's also a kickball that bounces around the screen. And you tilt your phone to slide her to each side of the screen. But what's cool is how fast you tilt your phone controls how fast she slides and how much momentum she has when she kicks the ball. So it's kind of like a breakout clone, but with these neat elements of kind of gravity system thrown in, and you're also like kind of trying to kick this ball as hard as you can or control your kicks so they're not so hard so you can maneuver these blocks off the screen. But like I said, this huge stack of blocks is falling from the top of the screen, and you're trying not to let them get to the bottom of the screen or else you'll die. And what's kind of cool about the blocks is they don't fall in like a clean, like straight pattern. They are all like jumbled up and just kind of like all bleh as they fall down. And I don't know. I think that's attractive. It also has really good music and really gorgeous graphics. It's $1, and it's one of my favorite iPhone games I've played. So if it sounds good to you and you like breakout stuff, kickball or like Arkanoid type games, Kickball Champion of the World is really fun, and I think that you should check it out. What else? Amber Halls. Amber Halls is a roguelike puzzle game, strategy thing. It reminds me a little bit of Hoplite, which I reviewed in the last episode. It's pretty good. It's all right. It's not the most gorgeous game, but it has some really neat, cool gameplay ideas. But my favorite thing about it is that it has daily challenges, where you can go through these different dungeons and people get, you know, ranked based on how well they did in the daily challenge. And yeah, it's a little roguelike with daily challenges. So you can probably figure out whether or not you want that. It's $1, I believe. So, yeah, check that crap out. What else did we have to review? Oh, yes, I've been really excited to review this. Block Legend. This is for iOS and Android. And this is an iPhone game that's taken up a ton of my time. It's $2. So it's called, yeah, like I said, it's called Block Legend. It's $2. And it is a puzzle RPG, sort of like, you know, Puzzle Quest or something. But it's has this pixelated graphics that are a little kind of like Dragon Quest-y, and it has a little bit more of a, you know, like a retro game feel to it. And you unlock amazing characters. You can unlock like a basketball player who's in this like medieval RPG setting, or you can unlock like a little spaceship to play as, and I don't know. You upgrade your stats, and you fight bosses, and you puzzle until you beat the game. And it's super, super fun, and I think that everyone should get this game if they like RPGs or Puzzle Quest or anything in between. So, once again, it's called Block Legend is what that's called. Okay, now copies that we actually got to review of iPhone games. These are I'm going to go a little more into because these are kind of the big ones. So, the first one is Mines of Mars, and we actually got two review copies from these guys, but I'm going to hit Mines of Mars up first. So, Mines of Mars is not a a bad game, well, it's not. It's important for me to say that. It's important for me to say that because of what's coming next. Mines of Mars isn't a bad game, but it is a clone, and it's a clone that I'm not really okay with because it's the clone of SteamWorld Dig. Like it's.
Oh yeah. I remember you telling me about this.
Mm-hmm. Hold on for a second. Man, my throat's getting sore. So Mines of Mars is a clone of SteamWorld Dig. It has some cool elements of its own, some jetpack stuff and some arcade games you can unlock and different things. But for the most part, it plays a lot like SteamWorld Dig. And I'm just not a big fan of clones. Like, if you're going to make a game, make something that's kind of original. Make something with its own kind of touch to it. And this game, immediately when I started playing, I was like, oh, it's just SteamWorld Dig. This game takes, like, SteamWorld Dig, throws its own skin over it, and it, like, you start out in a little hub town, okay, with little shops and, like, a side-scrolling area, and then you walk over to a teleporter, and you go underground, and you mine blocks and get stuff to sell. And there's little enemies that you fight as you mine downward, and, like, it's SteamWorld Dig on the iPhone. That's what it is. And, it just makes me really uncomfortable. I don't know. But, you know, you guys might dig it. If you want SteamWorld Dig on your iPhone, I'm not saying that it's a bad game. I'm just saying that you need to be aware that it is a clone of SteamWorld Dig. It definitely is. Now, that's not necessarily a horrible thing. Like, Terraria is a clone of Minecraft, but I still think that's a pretty great game. Newtopia is a clone of The Legend of Zelda, but I still love Newtopia a lot. But, you know, it's just something that you need to be aware of anyway. But, yeah, that's by Crescent Moon Games. It's $5. It's on the iPhone and Android if you want to check it out. I'm just throwing it out there. Not a bad game, though. It's pretty solid. And then Cold Fire Keep by Crescent Moon Games. This is one I was really looking forward to because Cold Fire Keep is actually a... it looks a lot like Legend of Grimrock, okay? And the guy who made it actually made a really good first-person dungeon crawler. Well, a pretty solid first-person dungeon crawler for the iPhone years back. So I was really excited for Cold Stone Keep, or Cold Fire Keep, I'm sorry. And I'm thinking of Cold Stone Creamery. Mm. Anyway, but Cold Fire Keep, it's a first-person dungeon crawler. You got a party of four people. You know, go through a dungeon, solve a puzzles, slash a giant rats, hit a switches, you know, all that stuff.
Sounds like a video game.
my only thing with Cold Fire Keep, it has pretty solid visuals, has some stiff animations, but it's so vague in places. Like, I got stuck so many times, and I'm stuck right now, actually. I can't figure out where to go, because it's, like, so vague about what to do next, which was kind of disappointing. But it has pretty good graphics, has really awesome sound design, which is pretty impressive. When you're playing with headphones on, it has this really nice atmosphere to it. If you're looking for a first-person dungeon crawler, I'd say you're not going to find a better one on the iPhone for sure, probably. But it does have some issues. It's a little too vague in places. The UI is kind of too small. Like, if you're going to use the on-screen buttons, those are really, really tiny, so this probably works better on a tablet. And also, I was going to say, the touch controls don't work the best. But it's not a terrible game. It's not bad. I would just give it a try it, because it has a couple issues that maybe could be worked out in updates. But I still think it's a good game, and I still think if you're looking for this kind of thing, you know, you might enjoy it. So, but, you know, try it. I can't recommend it wholeheartedly, but I'd say it's still a solid game. All right, we're getting to the end here. Just a couple more. You ready? Can you do this, Addison?
Yes, we can all right. Do things.
We can do it. Here we go.
We can do it.
All right, next game I'm going to review is Alphadia Genesis. Alphadia Genesis. What kind of game do you think this is, Addison?
Spell it for me real quick.
Alphadia Genesis.
And... RPG or a top-down action game?
It's an RPG. Okay. It's a JRPG by Tecmo. You know how Tecmo has made, like, all those, like, 16-bit JRPGs for the iPhone that are kind of just passable?
Yeah. That's a good description.
Yes, like, those Tecmo RPGs, they're okay, they're passable, but a lot of times they're not the best thing ever. They're just kind of bland a little bit, but they're also like a dollar, so you can't really complain that much. Alphadia Genesis is $5, and it is actually their first 3D RPG for the iPhone. And the whole game isn't 3D. Whenever you're walking around the overworld or like in towns and stuff, it's 2D pixelated art. Fortunately, the sprites are pretty well animated, and the art's pretty detailed. And then whenever you go into battles, it's 3D models versus 3D models. And I think the battles look nice. The monster and character designs are pretty good. Animation's a little stiff, but overall, it's pretty solid. Like, I was really surprised. It's definitely their best RPG that Tecmo has made so far. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's going to blow your mind. It's the greatest thing ever, you know. But it's a solid RPG. And if you're looking for a good RPG to play on your phone, I think Alphadia Genesis is a solid choice. I like how you can also, like, pinch to zoom in on the screen, because I love when sprites like scale and stuff, and you can zoom in to like find extra hidden little items in the environments and stuff, and I dig that crap. So it also has kind of a neat little story about how humans have been using clones to fight their wars, but now it has all these questions about whether or not clones are like real people and different stuff like that. So some interesting story elements as well. I think it's a solid JRPG, and I think if you're a JRPG fan, you would dig Alphadia Genesis. And also, it's rumored to be coming to the Wii U, because it's built in Unity, and there are some screenshots that were released, I think, in Japan, of the game running on the Wii U. So that would be really cool. I think it'd be a good fit for the 3DS and or the Wii U. I would love to see that. I already know that Nicalis is bringing one of Tecmo's RPGs, I think it's Legend of Grincia or something like that, to the 3DS. And this is another one that I would love to have on my 3DS. Because, you know, on-screen buttons and all that is kind of annoying. I would always prefer to play with real buttons or whatever. So, but good game. Check it out. I think you'll dig it. Whatever. All right, last game. Right. Last iPhone game I'm going to review. I am a jerk, and I apologize to the developers, but I forgot to write down who developed this. But the game is called Glorkian Warrior. All right, Glorkian Warrior is spelled G-L-O-R-K-I-A-N. Glorkian Warrior. And Glorkian Warrior is my favorite iPhone game that I've played in a long, long time. It's right up there with some of the greats, like, you know, Ridiculous Fishing or Super Hexagon, Punch Quest, sort of Fargo, that kind of stuff. It's one of my favorite iPhone games I've played in a while. And it's great. It's only $3 as well. But anyway, Glorkian Warrior, you play as... Oh, I already said this to Addison earlier, but I'll say it to you guys too. Glorkian Warrior reminds me of a video game that, like, Finn and Jake would play on Adventure Time. Or,
so
like, a video...
Like,
go ahead.
Does it also look like, you know, something that you see on BMO?
Yes, and I don't want to, like, I hate to generalize, and I'm sure, like artists must hate this, you know, when someone's just like, it looks like Adventure Time, but, like, the art style is this abstract, cartoony, very colorful art style that, you know, is reminiscent of things like Adventure Time and Regular Show. It's very imaginative, it's kind of silly, it's really cool, and it's not crazy detailed, it's simple and colorful, and it reminds me of Adventure Time. In Glorkian Warrior, you play as this alien warrior who's wearing a backpack, and his backpack shoots lasers into the sky. And you're this little, like, three-eyed warrior, and you control him by tapping the right side of the screen and tapping the left side of the screen and swiping up to jump. And it plays like Galaga, okay? So it's kind of like a Galaga clone or a Galaxian clone or a Space Invaders type thing. And you shoot the aliens that come down from the sky. And but it seems like the patterns are randomized, so it has a little bit of like a roguelike feel to it, because it's always different, like enemies coming down, you never know what's coming next, and it drops different power-ups. One of my favorite things is that when power-ups come down, it has like, the way that it announces you picked up a power-up, is it has like a herd of little children scream out the name of the power-up. you'll get this like, what is it? You'll get this one. It's called Spinny Laser, I think it's called. all the weapons have the best names. It'll be like Spinny Laser. It's like all these little kids like yelling that. And then I don't know. It's a silly game. It's really fun. I like it a lot. It also kind of has a story, I think. Like every time you die, the backpack is actually like a character too. And so like every time you like die, you and the backpack like talk to each other. Have like a little dialogue sesh for a second, and there's also random characters that like jump on screen and like challenge you and are like, hey, I bet you can't like kick a basketball 5 times this time, and then you're like, yeah, I can, and then you kick a basketball and stuff like that. I just can't.
I bet you're wrong.
And so I don't know, it's just a really fun game with a great sense of humor. It made me laugh out loud a bunch of times. It has an awesome animation style. It's like an iPhone game, but it actually feels like, you know, a video game. It's pretty crazy. I think that if you like video games, if you like shooters, if you like cartoons and fun, silly stuff, you will really dig Glorkian Warrior. And I think you should definitely, definitely buy it for $3. So, yeah. Anyway, whew, there's our iPhone extravaganza all over with.
I don't know
what happened over the last two weeks, but there was just a lot of really solid stuff out there. I don't know why, but that's not a bad thing. I'm not complaining. And I know some of you guys are like, you know, oh, this is a handheld podcast. Why are we talking about mobile games? But it's like, you know what? Handhelds are awesome, and so are mobile games whenever they do it right. It's just that most of the time they don't do it right. So, anyway. Oh, that's another thing that we've been playing. I forgot, Addison. You and I have been hitting each other up on QuizUp.
Oh, yeah. Because it's out on Android now.
Yeah. I told you, it's a pretty fun game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I've been having a lot of fun.
I still don't know how they keep it free. I don't understand how they make money.
I don't know. It's got such a good UI.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous. It has like that flat design to it. I love it.
Yeah. Me and Ben Raymer have been challenging each other to like the stupidest categories that we can find. Like things that neither of us know anything about. And we'll just like send each other a challenge.
That's great.
Like, dang, we are terrible at baseball or things like that.
All right. Let's get on to our other reviews because we have more stuff to talk about. Let's have you talk about something because my voice is killing me.
I only played like two review games.
Oh yeah, so why don't you do your PSN game? Your PSN game.
Yeah, since the other one you played as well.
Yeah.
From Monkey Paw Games, we have another one of their Japanese import, whatever that series was called. And it is Tomba 2.
It's called the Retro Rush.
Retro Rush, right.
Yep.
So it is Tomba 2, and it is out now. You can play it on your PS3, PSP, and Vita. And Tomba,
I never played the first Tomba, ever.
I love the Tomba games. They are just really well done. Platformers in this like 3D polygon environment, and so Tomba is like this pink-haired caveman, and he goes fights some pigs and does some things and does a jump and hits some things, and it's just a good classic like 90s platformer that is kind of a little underappreciated. It's $6. I mean, it's a great game. $6. I just feel like me saying $6 is enough to justify you buying this. But a lot of people are upset because they used the English cover art, even though that this is the Japanese version of the game. So,
wait, what English cover art?
Well, Tomba 2 came out in America.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, but this is the Japanese version for some reason.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know. A lot of people are kind of... I was looking on the reviews on the PSN, and people are upset because...
I thought Tomba 2 just didn't come out in the U.S. or something.
I mean, I'm...
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. I'm going to double-check real quick, but I'm pretty sure it came out in the U.S.
Well, let's double-check on that.
Either way, I mean...
Here, I'm going to double-check on that.
Is, like, no one really needs the story all that bad. Yeah, it came out in the U.S., came out in the U.S. on December 31st, 1999.
Weird. I guess...
All of the computers and banks to fail. But, yeah. So you get, like, you know, power-ups and things. It's just a good, fun 90s platformer adventure game. Again, like I said, it is in Japanese, but you don't need the English and all that. It's just, you know, there. I highly recommend it. It's a really fun game. I mean, pretty much all of those Retro Rush games have been pretty great.
Mm.
Is that what it was called? Retro Rush?
Retro Rush. Retro Rush. Monkey Paw Games Retro Rush is what it's called. So we have another Retro Rush game to review, and it's one that I reviewed. So it is called... Oh, gosh. It's called Wolf Fang. That's what it's called. I'm sorry. I can't open it because I have Final Fantasy X open, and I can't find a safe point. So, Wolf Fang is a PlayStation game, just like all the other ones of these. So it's cross-buy between your PS3 and your Vita and whatever. And it's an import game, just like all the other Monkey Paw games, Retro Rush games. And like all the other ones, you don't really need to know English to play it. You don't really need to know Japanese to play it. Because it's, you know, kind of an action game and stuff. So, I guess originally this game was released in the arcades. I should say first, it's $6, just like all the others. But I guess originally that this game was released in the arcade, this is the PlayStation version. But what's cool is you can kind of switch features from the arcade and the PS1 version. I'm not sure, I can't figure out exactly what that changes. I tried to figure it out, but gameplay-wise, it seemed like they were really similar. I think it changes some things with, like, the... voiceovers and the cutscenes and stuff, but who cares, because, you know, you can't understand what they're saying or read it anyway. So I tended to play the arcade, because with the arcade version you can actually fast forward through the cutscenes, and they get a little long, so that's kind of nice. But anyway, Wolf Fang is it's a shooter, so like a shmup sort of, but you play as like a mech, a robot, and you fly around or walk around, as the case may be, and you shoot at the stuff that comes at you with your guns, and it all blows up, and it's pretty cool. You pick up little other people, and they hop on your robot. This is kind of cool. You'll see dudes in like jetpacks floating around sometimes, and they're power-ups, because whenever you catch them, they'll hop onto your mech and like ride on it, and they'll shoot dudes like while they're riding on you. That's kind of neat. If your mech blows up, you're stuck like fighting all these robots as just a regular human. You have to fly around. You have to fly around on a jetpack with like a dinky little gun and try and survive.
Have, a decent chance at it, or
I mean, like you, it's still plausible. I mean, you could still do it, but it's tough. It's a lot tougher. There's like different weapons you can use. What's really cool is you can actually customize your robot. You can like change the legs and the body and the gun and different stuff, and it changes the way it controls and what all it can do. I really like that. And yeah, you can get different weapons and you shoot, and it's fun. If you like shmups, if you like robots, if this sounds like your jam, if you like arcade style games that you can just kind of blaze through, I think I could recommend Wolf Fang for $6. You could do a lot worse. It's a fun game. I played it for quite a bit. So check it out. Anyway. Yeah. Every time I there's one robot, and he has a sword, and he smacks dudes with the sword. And sometimes when I would smack them, I'd say, Wolf Fang Fist.
Wolf Fang Fist.
Wolf Fang Fist. From Dragon Ball. It's from Dragon Ball. Alright.
Sorry, the other day, we started talking about Star Fox at work, and we just all... And by all, I mean me and one person just started quoting Star Fox for the rest of the day.
Okay. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep it going, full steam.
Let's do the thing. Let's do all of the thing. Do the thing. All of it. All
right, let's review Cube Tactics. Okay, let's do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you go first, because I'm tired of talking.
Okay, Cube Tactics is it considered isometric?
Nah, you rotate the whole stage.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess it's isometric, I don't know.
It's a pseudo-isometric
3D
tower defense 3D game.
What's it for?
For the 3DS.
How much does it cost?
It costs $5?
Yes, $5. It costs $5.
Yeah, $5. So, the way it works is you have one cube that's like your heart. It's, there's a word that they use in the game for it, I forget what it is, but...
It's like your base that you can't get attacked. Yeah, it's like your...
Yeah, it's your heart, it's your base that you're trying to protect. So, you then place other blocks around that. Some of those blocks could just be plain old, just green blocks that are a space. Others are buildings that produce archers or soldiers or people that heal and things like that. And then also ones with different terrain, and there's all kinds of different blocks, and you can stack them on top of each other to create, you know, a strategic way to defend against other enemy soldiers and stuff like that.
Yep.
So you build the battlefield as you play, and you have all these different classes that lend it to make it, you know, more strategic. And it also has online. We tried out the online before recording today, and it worked. It was good. But it was, our experience, it was kind of laggy. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty laggy.
We just caught it at a bad time or what, but...
Yeah, it also has... you can also play, like, matchmaking, too. It's not just against friends or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, it does have matchmaking.
Yeah.
We just played against each other because we didn't want to play against some stupid scrubs.
I did play matchmaking, though, on my own, and it was fun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Was it as laggy?
I can't tell, because it was easier for us to tell since we were on the phone while we were playing.
That's true.
Like, I don't know.
Well, the way it works in multiplayer, and also in... I'm pretty sure it also works the same way with most of the single-player stuff. At the top, you are given blocks. You don't get to, like, pull up a thing and be like, I want this
block. You're randomly given, like, several to choose from.
Yeah, and so...
And they cost points, too. Like, you have to...
Right, you have an energy meter, and
yeah.
certain blocks cost, like, 3 points, some just cost one, things like that.
Yeah.
But your energy refills fairly fast, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And so you are not the only one picking from those blocks. Your enemy is also picking, so if you see a block that you really want, you want to grab it before they do, so that mm-hmm. you can use it. Or maybe just get it so that they don't have it. Maybe you don't even need it, you just don't want them to have it. So there's a lot of strategy in this game that is kind of deceptively simple, and it's easy mm-hmm. to get into, but also one of those games that can be kind of hard to master. I guess it was a lot more enjoyable than I expected it to be. The 3D was super great.
Yeah, the 3D's pretty dang good.
The music was really good.
Like, yeah,
was really well done.
Yeah, I enjoyed the music a lot. And, like, even the visuals, like, they look kind of like, when I first started playing, I was like, ah, these visuals are looking a little, like, you know, DS. Not 3DS, like, just DS. But then I realized, like, they're so simple so that you can cram, like, a bajillion soldiers on screen at once. Because that's what ends up happening, is you have tons of soldiers, like, marching across and smacking each other. So, oh, you forgot to mention, you can actually, if you take four, like, let's say you have not.
Right.
Let's see,
I always forget about that.
Yeah, let's say you have, like, castles, and castles produce knights. So, like, let's say you can, like, take four castles and stack them next to each other and make one giant castle that produces, like, upgraded knights. They're, like, I don't know what you would call them, but they're, like, better knights. And, and they do more damage and stuff, and you can do that with all the different... All the different class types. And all the different classes do different things. You know, archers shoot bows, and there's, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of strategy. You can lay down poison tiles. You can set up little towers that shoot magic at dudes and do all kinds of stuff. And the single-player missions, too, will last you a long time because they get really stinking hard. But I think that, personally, I think that, you know, multiplayer is probably going to be where it's at. And, yeah, I don't know. We really enjoyed it. We liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
All right, Cube Tactics. Yeah, it's published by Taeon, and I can't tell who developed it. It says on the title screen, Fun Unit, O2, and Peak Vox. So, I don't know. A lot of people developed it, but it's a solid game. I think it's a really cool addition to the eShop. I think if you like strategy games, or puzzle games, or tower defense games, I think there's something here for everybody. And yeah, I think you should buy it. For $5, pretty much can't go wrong.
Good.
I've spent $5 on much worse games than Cube Tactics.
I mean, you could spend $5 on Cube Tactics or $40 on One Piece Romance Dawn.
I forgot, and then you reminded me. but thankfully you reminded me that I haven't deleted it from my 3DS yet, so now I'm going to go do that right now. But while I'm doing that, I will also throw out a couple more reviews, because we have more reviews. They never end. They never ever end. A lot. So I'm going to go quick, but they're good games, so it's hard to go quick. Also on the 3DS eShop, we have Tapping Go. I don't know how you say it. I'll say Tap and Go. That sounds better. Tap and Go is developed by Goodbye Galaxy Games, which you might know from one of our first reviews we ever did, which was, what was that Goldfish game?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the name of it now, but it was a while ago. It was a DSiWare game. And then they also made that Color Commando game, which we didn't really dig Color Commando that much. But fortunately, I really dig Tap and Go. Tap and Go is a puzzle game. It is for the 3DS eShop, not DSiWare anymore. And it plays a little bit like Picross, kind of. Basically, you have this pixel art image, and you can't really tell what it is at first, but there'll be some blocks that say have like a have numbers on them. There'll be some blocks that have like a 3, and some that have a 1, some that have a 2. And what that means is that block is supposed to stretch in a certain direction, you know, 3 spaces or 1, or 3 pixels, I'll say, or 1 pixel or 2 pixel. The only problem is, like, sometimes when you stretch a block, if there's nothing to stop it, it'll just keep stretching. And you can't have blocks overstretch. Like, you know, you can't have one that says 3 stretch down to, like, 6 pixels. It has to be 3 pixels exactly. And so your goal is to find the right order to kind of expand all of these pixels and make a full, like, picture. And, you know, there's different pixel art pictures that it makes, and they get more complicated as the game goes. This game's really tough. And I'm glad you didn't review it, Addison, because you probably would have just gotten frustrated and given up, because I know how you are with the puzzle games. But I reviewed it, and I like puzzle games, and even though I've never been great at Picross games, I still really had a lot of fun with this. And I think if you like Picross, you'll probably really enjoy Tap and Go. And I am happy to give Goodbye Galaxy Games' this Tap and Go a definite buy it. If you like puzzle games, and if you like... if you like puzzle games, and if you like Picross especially, I think you'll really enjoy Tap and Go. Oh, it's also only $3, so it's cheap. And it has, like, really beautiful UI design, too. I was really impressed. So, it's good stuff. Good game. Get it. Check it out. Take a money, spend your monies on game. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Do video game in your hand. Yes.
Oh, I've been so excited to review this next game. Next game I'm going to review is called Luftrausers. Or is it Luftrausers?
Luftrausers. Oh, yeah. How did I forget we were reviewing that?
Yeah, how did you forget we were reviewing this? I'll never forget this game because I'm never going to stop playing it. Luftrausers is the new game from Vlambeer and Devolver Digital. You might know Vlambeer from such hits as Super Crate Box or... Gun Gods, I'm trying to think of some more. Nuclear Throne. They did some other stuff. Ridiculous Fishing, there we go. Vlambeer is known for making crazy action games that are crazy and super crazy. And also really fun and addictive and simple. And this game is no exception. Luftrausers is super, super, super fun and addictive. When I first started playing Luftrausers, I didn't really get the hype. I was like, this is okay. It's all right. If you don't know what it is, but after a while, I really, really got into it. If you don't know what Luftrausers is, Luftrausers is a dogfighting game, like aerial dogfighting. So it's pixelated, it's side-scrolling. It has kind of a Game Boy aesthetic to it, so it's kind of like you know, these like black and white to it. But you can also unlock other color palettes, which is cool. One of which is done by Mario Odomo, and you can totally tell. Because it's like all like pink and pastel colors. But anyway... So, Luftrausers is a side-scrolling dogfighting game where you control a plane and you shoot a bullets at boats and other planes that are shooting at you. Where it gets fun is everything's randomly generated, so it has a roguelike element to it. When you die, you're dead and you have to start back over. And it goes really fast, so you typically don't survive for more than a few seconds. If you survive for like a minute or two, you're doing really, really good. It's a very, very, very difficult game. But what's also cool is that as you progress in the game, which you progress by racking up points and your total points that you've made unlocks more stuff in the game. And there are different parts to your ship that you can unlock. So you can unlock different bodies and wings. Actually, you can unlock different bodies and weapons and also like different engines. So like for instance, my favorite... and they all have different names. All the different combinations have different... Like, that ship is, like, named. So my favorite ship to use is called the Moose, okay? The Moose uses... it has a missile body, so it drops missiles as you're firing. And it has... The jets that I have on it allow me to fly underwater, so I can, like, hit the ocean and then just, like, go underwater and take no damage. And then the weapon I'm using is... I think it's called the grenade or the bomb. And what it'll do is it'll hit an enemy, and then it explodes and takes out everything else around it as well, around the explosion. And so it's really fun because, like, my ship is like is built for these different situations. Like, I like to stay closer to the ocean so that I can dive underwater to heal, and I can take out ships a lot faster with my bombs and my missiles. And it's so much fun. And the way it controls is so cool. So if you're already playing Luftrausers, I'm going to tell you right now: stop using the analog stick. Don't use the analog stick. What you need to be doing is hitting the R button to accelerate, and then using the D-pad to steer. It'll give you way more accurate control. What happens is you use the R button to fire your jet, and then you steer using just the left and right on the D-pad. And it works for full 360 movement. It's hard to explain. You just have to see it, and then you'll get it. For instance, one of my favorite things to do is to fly straight and then get all these enemies following me and like chasing me and shooting in my butt. And then I cut my engines, and I hit the right or left directional button, and I swerve around and do a 180, and then I just destroy everything that's been chasing me right behind me. God, this game's so awesome. It's like the Star Fox that I've been waiting for and haven't gotten, except it's all side-scrolling and 2D and pixely and kind of like a roguelike. I don't know. Luftrausers is amazing. So good. So awesome. So much fun. I've dumped hours and hours into this game this week, and I plan on dumping more and more and more hours into this game. You should definitely, definitely buy it. It's also $10, and I'll say that might be a little steep for some people because it is a bit of a short game, but I think it's worth it because it's so much fun. But if it's not worth it to you, just wait for a sale, because I think that you need to buy it no matter what because it's an awesome game to play on your Vita. And it's also cross-buy, so you can play it on your PS3 as well. But anyway, what do you think, Addison?
I really want to play it, but...
Do you?
I haven't been able to. I know I'm going to get it eventually. I just haven't yet.
Yep. I could talk about this game forever. Luftrausers is so much fun. Which really surprised me, because I wasn't really getting the hype. People kept like getting all excited about it, and I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good, I guess, whatever. And like now I'm sold out. And I keep showing it to people, and I show it to all these people, and they're just like, what is that? That looks amazing. And it is amazing. So, get Luftrausers. One of my favorite games I'm reviewing this week, and I'm reviewing a lot of games.
So now, what do we got? Final Fantasy?
I'm just going to talk about that for a little while, but I'll wait on that, actually. No. Yeah, I'll wait on that. I'm going to wait on it. The next game I'm going to talk about, I wanted to hit up Inazuma 11 a little bit more in detail, because I haven't really reviewed it officially. Inazuma 11 is $20. It's on the eShop. It's only for the 3DS. It's a soccer RPG. You control your team with the touchscreen, but really it plays a little bit like Final Fantasy X's Blitzball, which I just noticed because I was playing Final Fantasy X, except that it's actually good. And Final Fantasy X's Blitzball is a sack of cat pee, and it's terrible. But Inazuma 11 is really fun. It's made by Level 5, so it has that Level 5 like personality to it with all the cute characters and the fun stuff, and it also has over-the-top attacks and different techniques you can do, and it has a fun little story about junior hires playing soccer and believing in themselves. It has anime cutscenes and stuff. You should buy it. It's fun. If you like soccer, or you like RPGs.
I like, one of those things.
Or you like level 5 in general, you'll probably enjoy it.
I like two of those things.
Yeah, I really like it. It's super fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like it. Anyway, next game I'm going to review, this one I'm going to spend a little more time on, is called Yumi's Odd Odyssey. Did you see we actually got a review copy for this?
No. What is this?
We did. Wait, you don't know what Yumi's Odd Odyssey is?
No.
You ever heard anything about it?
I don't... Maybe? I don't
farewell, know. Farewell Yumi Arawasa or whatever it's called? Yumi Amahura? I don't remember. Okay, so, wow, you haven't heard about this. That's really crazy. Okay, so Yumi's Odd Odyssey is recently published by Natsume. It is $30 on the eShop, so it's pretty much a full retail game. And it is a puzzle platformer. What's crazy about Yumi's Odd Odyssey is it's the first in its series to make it to the United States or out of Japan at all. And it's actually a long-running series. It's been a series since the Super Nintendo. The Super Nintendo game is like an importer's dream. Everybody loves that game. You play as this cute little girl, not really a little girl once again, but a cute girl, and she has a fishing pole, and you throw your fishing lure into stuff, and it sticks like a grappling hook, and you swing around, and you also throw it into fish enemies, and then you put them in your pocket. And your goal is basically just to get through the stage and get to the exit, but it throws all these cool kind of puzzles at you and these neat elements that make it really difficult to do that. It's in this like weird surreal world with like pencils coming out of the ground and all kinds of stuff, but it's basically just a pure puzzle platformer where you've got to get to the exit, and there's enemies and, you know, gaps and stuff in your way, and you've got to find a way through it. The controls are spot on. It feels perfect to play, which is just always awesome. But I'll say this, it is frustrating. Like, it is a super difficult game. This game is hard as heck, man. So keep that in mind before you get into this. It has like multiple players you can, or multiple characters that you can play as, which crack me up because when you're switching characters, it like When you're switching characters, it has like descriptions of the characters, and I love the descriptions of the characters because Like for instance, you know, the main character, what's her name? Yumi. So Yumi's description, gender, female, age 20, personality calm. She looks up to no one. Special skill, can swallow medicine without drinking water. Doesn't like poisonous mushrooms. I don't think anyone likes poisonous mushrooms. I don't know who these characters are, or like what their deal is, but
that's pretty amazing.
They're in here and you can switch to them. They're all like cute kind of moe girls, but not in like a creepy, gross way. They're just girls. Yeah, they all have clothes on. But I don't know, man. You play the game and you climb a ladder and then you throw your fishing pole and you swing around. It's awesome. The graphics are really gorgeous and the 3D effects are super nice. And the music especially is so relaxing. It's like Kirby music, kind of, like where it's cute and lighthearted. But then it's also just like you want to take a nap because it's super relaxing. I'm surprised you haven't heard about this. I've been talking about it for a while. It's that game that they announced was coming to the U.S. And we were like, oh, wow, they had announced it was coming to the U.S. And then they were like, it's coming out in January. And then it didn't come out in January. And then we were like, oh, I hope it actually comes to the U.S. They're not going to cancel it. And then it came out. Anyway.
All memory of this is not in my brain.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's a pretty big game. A lot of people have been excited about it. And if you're not excited about it, you should be. Because
I'm excited about it now.
I'm going to give Yumi's Odd Odyssey a buy it. I think that $30 might be a little steep. Maybe. But I think the game is such a unique part of gaming history. And I think that it is a quality product, and I think $30 is pretty much justified. And if that's a little steep for you, it'll probably definitely go on sale at some point. But for now, I'll say buy Yumi's Odd Odyssey. You will not regret it, I imagine, if this sounds like your jam. If you like weird Japanese games and also cute music and grappling hooks, you'll probably dig it. And really, who doesn't love a good grappling hook, eh?
I mean, I know I do love grappling hook.
Grappling hooks are the best, man. Okay, that was really the main thing I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to hit up Final Fantasy X
HD real quick. Games. How did you play all of these?
I just did, dude. I mean, we haven't recorded in like a month.
Have we not?
I mean, because we recorded the same episode 3 times, remember?
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. So, like,
that's why it feels like
we've recorded 4 episodes, but we've recorded 2. So, yeah. I mean, Final Fantasy X, I don't know why I said I was going to review it. There's not much to talk about. It looks really gorgeous on the Vita's OLED screen. I would say if you're going to buy a version, you should probably get the Vita because it's really, really pretty.
Why didn't they make it cross-buy?
I don't know. That's so dumb.
Really wish that game had been cross-buy. I feel like that was just Square, like, just milking it for as much as they could make it.
It should definitely have been cross-buy. Absolutely been cross-buy. Especially because it's $40. Like, it's $40 for a game that came out in 2002. Well, 2 games that came out in 2002, so $20 each. But should have been cross-buy. I mean, come on. But whatever. If you're going to get one version, I would say get the Vita version. Because you can already play it on your PS3 if you just buy the original game, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks great in HD and everything, but it's really fun to play on the go. It looks amazing on the OLED screen, which is going to look better than your HD TV anyway. And yeah, it's great. Only big complaint I have about it, and I didn't even buy the physical version, but the physical version, it's only Final Fantasy X that comes physical. You still have to get Final Fantasy X2 digital.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, that made me really frustrated.
It's not like that on the PS3 one, is it?
I don't think so. It made me really frustrated because like each game is like it's like 3.5 gigs.
Yeah.
And so you know, I didn't want it to take up that much room. And finally it was like taking forever for me to find a physical copy. So I was just like, screw it, I'll just buy it digital, and I did. But yeah, it's really awesome. It's a port done really well. The visuals are great. They've redone some of the character models. The animation's still awkward, but a lot of the gameplay systems still hold up. It's the international version of Final Fantasy X, too. It's the one that we didn't get that has a lot of improvements, like the original game. So, yeah, it's got some neat stuff. I don't really know what a lot of those actually are, because I never played the original one that much. But I know that fans of the game were like, yay, the international version! Hooray! So, whatever. Okay. I guess buy it if you like Final Fantasy. Yeah.
That's going if you're on my list of games that I want, but I'm not spending a ton of money right now.
My dad gave me a $50 handshake today, and I was like, maybe I should spend this on some video games. And then I was like, no, I shouldn't. Because I have so many video games to play right now.
So,
anyway,
are we finally done talking?
We are done
games?
With all these reviews. Now I'm going to play Luftrausers. Oh, something I forgot to mention about Luftrausers that's so cool. Depending on which parts you have equipped, the music changes. So, like, you have 3 different parts to equip, right? And it changes, like, what...
Oh, for each? For every single part?
Yes. Yeah. Like, different instruments play for different parts. Or different, like... It's really interesting. I don't know. It all sounds good. It always sounds like... The music always sounds great. But, I love, like, the song for the Moose. It's great. And that's my main ship, so...
So, I guess we just go into questions.
Okay.
Derek Kirschman, who is DJ Kirschman on Twitter, who is a neat boy. We're gonna have him on soon, probably the next.
Are we?
Yeah, I think we should have him on like the next episode.
Is he a cool guy?
Yeah, he's chill, bro.
Is he chill, bro?
Yeah.
All right.
But he was asking if we had any experience using remote play, and if so, what we thought of it. And I had briefly talked about it earlier in the show. I just wanted to kind of get some more details out, or I guess more details about what I think about it. I think it is a great function, and
I was really hoping you were going to say, I think it's a sack of crap.
I think it's the worst garbage of Garbage Town.
It's garbage.
I think it's a really great function, and I like the idea of the remote play and second screen options with the PS4.
Yeah.
There's not that many games supporting it so far, but
I thought all PS4 games supported it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I misspoke. There's not many PS3 games.
Oh, there's like no PS3 games.
Yeah, and that really bums me out.
But I think every PS4 game supports it, I'm pretty sure.
I was looking through my PS3 games for games that supported it the other day, and there was like one, and I'm trying to remember what it was now.
Was it that Tokyo... whatever, Tokyo Jungle? I know that supports it.
No, I don't have that one. I have the
mobile one, or the...
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. I can't remember. Anyways, doesn't matter. But I think it's really great. I don't think it works this way, but I wish it did. But it would be cool if they, you know, made it to where I could be at work and connect my Vita to the internet
Yeah.
and just start streaming my game.
Just boot up your PS4. That'd be so cool.
But it's great that I can, like, it's great that I can turn on the PS4 and play a game on my Vita while I'm laying in bed, and then when I'm done, I can, like, access the PS4 menu from my Vita and turn off the PS4.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'll really enjoy that. I'll really enjoy that too for like a lot of smaller games.
Yeah,
that just would work well on a handheld too. Whenever I get a PS4, like I would love to play. I'd love to play Resogun on my Vita, stuff like that.
But it's a great function, and I'm glad that they have it. I've honestly kind of ignored it up until now, but it's been pretty great.
Well, there just hasn't been that much stuff for PS4 either.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, like, mess with it until this past week.
I don't understand why the PS4 isn't backwards compatible. It just still bothers me so much.
Smurfy.
Because, like, my brother, he's, like, always like, there's nothing to play. And I'm like, why isn't it backwards compatible? Like, it would make these droughts, like, so much easier for people to deal with if they could just play some PS3 games.
It's because of the graphics chip.
Yeah, whatever.
There's
ways to make it work.
There was some rumors going around that there was going to be a big PS4 update that enabled it to play PS1 and PS2 games.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
I could play Theme Park on my PS4. I got Theme Park.
I'd start giving
I haven't played it yet.
I'd start giving my brother PlayStation PS... Oh, no, I'd give him the Persona games is what I'd give him. I'd be like, here... Now you have something to do with your PS4.
This ought to last you at least a week.
Anyway.
These aren't so much questions, but Smurfy just said, GBA on Wii U, which we covered, Little Big Planet DLC for Tearaway, which I hadn't heard about, Lufrousers, which you reviewed, and then he said, not questions per se, I suppose. So I think he was just...
just things.
Like, he just wanted to make sure we talked about those things. I hadn't really heard about this
Little
Big Planet DLC for Tearaway, had you?
I had not heard anything about that.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of look into that real quick. You want to vamp a little bit?
Oh, one of the things I forgot to mention about Lufrousers, too, is, that review is way too small for Lufrousers, but it has, like, challenges for each of the weapons, or the different parts. And it'll be like, you have to kill, like, 20 ships in a row without, like, continuously firing and stuff like that. And once you unlock, once you've done all the challenges for all the weapons, then something crazy happens. I already know what it is, but I'm not going to tell.
Okay, so, I guess this just came out today. I just missed it. Looking at Polygon's article about it.
About the Little Big Planet DLC?
Yeah. It says that... it just came out, and...
wait, it's out already?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Little Big Paper Pack allows players to dress Tearaway characters, Atois and Iota, in Little Big Planet costumes as part of 14 decorative items. It is on offer now on the PlayStation Download Store for $2.99.
Oh. Well, so, I was thinking it was going to be like new stages or something.
But it does, I think it adds, I think you can use them as paper craft as well.
Hmm. That's kind of cool.
I think that adds to your Tearaway, like, paper craft account.
Yeah.
So that covers all the personal ones I got. Bring this over to the Pocketoid account.
Let's see if I still have the top ranking high score amongst my friends on Lufrousers. Oh yeah, I do. I am destroying both S'mores and a Bear in Mind who are listening to this podcast, I'm sure. So in your faces. By the way, if you guys have a Vita, give us your friend codes. Or not your friend codes. Give us your friend names.
Do
so
it.
We can add you and check and play. Yes, give it. You don't even get it anymore. Yeah, if you got a Vita, give us your username on Twitter so we can add you and play games and look at your trophies or whatever, stalk you. You can look at how I have more trophies for Lufrausers than any other game in my library. I think I have like 80% of the trophies, or 85%, something like that.
So the only other question we really have is from Lunar Knight.
Lunar Knight!
Spelled K-N-I-T-E.
Every time I read his name, I think of the Lunar series, and then it makes me sad because there haven't been any more for so long. And then I want to go play Lunar Legend on my Game Boy Advance, even though everyone hates that version. It was my first.
I wonder why he spelled Knight like that.
I don't know. Why not?
Oh, I'm just curious.
Also, isn't Lunar Knight like a DS game, I think? I think I have that game. Yeah, Lunar Knight's... Yeah, it is a DS game.
But it's not spelled the same way, is it?
It's the sequel to that game with the sun, Boktai. It's a sequel to Boktai.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But you... It doesn't work with... Does it have, like, something to bring in solar light, or...
I think what it does, I don't remember. I bought it for like $2 at GameStop one time, and I barely played it. But there's two different characters, and I can't remember. Maybe like you play as one in the daytime, one at night, and mm-hmm. that's how they work. I don't know. I don't remember.
Anyway.
But I mean, it's a fun game. I remember that. So whatever.
He says, you think with Square Enix's new attitude toward JRPGs, they'd release more Dragon Quest games in the West?
I was actually thinking about that today. What do you think, Addison?
I hope so. I think the fact that they introduced this new IP in the U.S. and that it sold,
and that it's basically
expected it to,
and that it's basically a Dragon Quest cross Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, and I feel like they should feel more open about, or not more open, but more comfortable about the idea of releasing a game that people are harassing them to release.
It's like an established series.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's already an established, existing series that people are familiar with. So it's already like statistically going to sell better than like a new IP. So
for sure.
I mean, I bet they're going to, and they're just waiting to announce it at like E3 or something.
Yeah, or I have
or
no
like
idea.
The
we'll
next
see.
Nintendo Direct.
I really hope they do. I would not be surprised if they did.
If they don't announce it by the end of the year, then I give up.
Yeah. At this point, after the success of not Lufrausers, after the success of what are we gonna say? After the success of Bravely Default, I wouldn't be surprised because they're so similar, and like they at this point, like they see that they're missing out on over 200,000, probably 300,000 sales now. In just the West alone of, Bravely Default. They're not making that money. That's all Nintendo money. And at this point, they're probably thinking to themselves, what do we got? And what you got is five Dragon Quest games that play very similarly and appeal to the same audience that they want to buy. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe not. I wouldn't put it past Square Enix to just be a doofus. But
This is the last time. This is the last year that I'm going to have faith for it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Max Scoville.
Dude, I forgot to mention that. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say Max Scoville just shared a screenshot from his PS4 of Galactus riding an elephant in the Lego Marvel game with just the caption "I hunger."
That's
really
funny. What was I going to say? One of the things I forgot to mention about Lufrausers, it took those guys 3 years to make, and they made back all their money in 3 days.
Good.
Yeah. I was really happy to hear that.
That
pretty cool.
That gives me faith.
Yep.
We can still have nice things.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. One of the abilities that you can have, one of the bodies that you can get, it allows you to kamikaze ships without taking any melee damage.
Wow.
So, like, I mean, but you can, like, bullets still do, like, way more damage to you. But you can just fly straight into stuff and not take any damage for it. It's pretty fun.
Well, do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I guess I'll... you started off. I can't remember.
You close us out.
Okay. Well, this has been your so many reviews episode of Pocket Toyd. If you wanted to know if there's any good iPhone games, I think we answered that question. Yeah. Yeah. So go out there and get yourself some Loose Trousers and Cube Tactics, and you still got, like, for $20, you can get yourself Loose Trousers, and you can get Cube Tactics, and, like, some burritos and a drink. That's $20 right there. Two really good games and two subpar burritos. Anyways, so thank you for listening. You can follow us on the internets. I am at Addison_L. You are... Yeah, he's at Jackal... Oh, okay, sorry. Yes. And you can follow the show at Pocketoid. We will, some point in, hopefully this year, fix our iTunes feed. That's one of these days. And the next episode you hear, I will be back from PAX East. So hopefully I will have a lot of things to talk about. I'm in the process of getting in contact with a bunch of people that are going to be there. So, going to see... Yeah. Oh, there'll be something. But I'll have a ton of things to talk about, regardless. We'll get to see, I'll get to see our good friend, Trevor Stricker from Disco Pixel. That's the company, right? Yeah, Disco Pixel. So, I'm gonna see him and see how, Tokyo... No, I tweeted at him today. He said he's not. Neither is Jake Kaufman, which bummed me out. So I'll see how Jungle Beat, that's the name of the game, right, that he's doing? Jungle Beat, I think, was the name of the mobile game he's working on. See how that's come along since last year. And I'll find out about a ton of new indie games. Oh gosh, I'm going to fall down this indie rabbit hole. Man. I still... It bums me out. It's been almost a year and I still don't have a samurai gun. But I want to get the PSN one. I know, but on PC, I want the PSN one so that I can just, like, get people to bring controllers. I might just... Yeah, I was about to say, I might just get Towerfall Ascension. Anyways, so thank you for listening. We'll be back. Yeah. Okay, love you, bye. That's the end. That's the end of the episode. Why not?